Friday Night Sport
with Thabiso Masia.
90 minutes journey around the sporting world. Proudly brought to you by SABC Sport.
And let's get straight into it, because I've got a feeling that this 1.5 hours is going to go very fast. And we welcome Odwa Ndungane on the line. Odwa, good evening from us. Thank you very much for being able to speak to us on three radio stations this evening: SAFM, Metro FM, as well as Radio 2000.
Good evening, Thabiso. Thank you so much for inviting me this evening. And also good evening to all the listeners.
Thank you, Odwa. It's a pleasure for us to be speaking to you. It's an honor also. And it's probably a good thing that you're not in studio, because I would still be wondering if you're really Odwa or Akon, right?
it happens quite a lot, especially when I'm up in Joburg. People obviously just quickly assume that it's Akon, because Akon has based that side. But it's all fun and games, yeah.
And how do you deal with it, though? I mean, I'm sure you've had it throughout your life.
Yeah, I think it depends. You know, I remember when we were still playing, and whenever we play in Joburg, I would stay over. And when I'm in Pretoria, everyone would come to me asking for photos, talking about the Bulls game. And, you know, you kind of get used to it, and it becomes part of your life. It's something that you understand. You know, people appreciate what my brother and I are doing, and they love the sport, they love their teams. So it's something that you just enjoy and let it go and go with the flow.
Wonderful. I remember watching your wedding on TV a couple of years ago. You know exactly where it was. There was a third guy there that looked like you, also had dreadlocks. Are the three of you as brothers?
I'm not sure who that guy was. There's only two of us.
Okay.
You know, we speak about the wedding day. It's actually 10 years ago. So it will be 10 years in November. I will be celebrating our 10-year anniversary with my wife, Komuto.
That is wonderful. And we're going to get into that later on the show, because she's on one of my favorite shows. I'm saying that. I can't believe I just said that on air in public. But she is on one of my favorite shows.
That makes one of us, Tabitha. I would say, watching her. And, you know, I think she's a person that speaks her mind and sometimes can be misunderstood, but she believes in what she speaks, what she believes in, and she fights for what she believes in. But it all makes for good entertaining at the end, I guess.
Well, now that we are here, please tell her, if she's not listening, that I'm sad that she's leaving Real Housewives of Deb. Because I heard she's leaving, and that's the show that I watch.
I'll pass on the message.
Okay, let's get back to the matter at hand, Odwa. We've invited you to talk about your splendid career over the years. But before that, can we just get your thoughts on the box against the British and Irish Lions in Cape Town tomorrow? Before we go to tomorrow, what did you make of the match last week where the box lost 17-22?
Well, I think we always knew that it was always going to be a tough game, especially considering that the box haven't played enough games for them to prepare for such a huge tour. You know, it happens every 12 years, and whenever those games come around, you would want your best team to be at the top of their form in shape. But, you know, the way they started was very impressive. You know, it was the typical South African style of playing rugby, dominating physically, you know, defensively, putting the opposition under pressure. But I think the experience and the fitness of the Lions, and obviously the impact of their bench, played a part in swinging the game. And I think you saw that when the box started fading away, which I think would speak volumes on their match fitness and their sharpness, because in the second half, I think they gave away quite a number of penalties, which put the whole team under pressure. So there were a few areas where they would have let themselves down, where I think, you know, in the aerial battle, it's something they normally pride themselves in. They're normally the best in that area of the game. They use that a lot to their strength, but, you know, they couldn't handle that on the weekend, and they were under pressure. And the Lions converted those points. You know, it just makes an exciting encounter this weekend. You know, they would have had the week to try and fix. And, you know, 7 days is a long time, and a lot can change. So I'm looking forward to what hopefully would be a Springbok win and just makes the series exciting.
Definitely. I mean, there was only 5 points in the game last weekend. Do you expect them to change much as far as their game plan is concerned, or stick to what they know best?
Well, I don't think so, Tabiso. And I think it all comes down to how much time they've played. And the game plan that they've used from the World Cup has worked for them. It's all about just tidying it up and making sure you play for 80 minutes. And I see they've gone with that 6-2 split on the bench, which is a game that is around the forward dominance that they thrive on and that they believe in. And, you know, I'm sure they'll be going out to make sure that they win the game. And I don't think it's going to be a bigger margin than 5 or 8 points because, you know, the teams are that much closer together in terms of quality on both sides. So I see it being also another small game decided by the boots of both fly halves, either Dan Biggar or Andre Pollard, which I think they'll play a vital role in the team that wins. So, but hopefully it will be the green and gold team that walks away victorious on Saturday.
So we can go to that final test and there's everything still to play for. But back to you, Odo. I mean, you're still a busy man after your career. I thought you'd take it easy, but you're in construction. You're an ambassador for a few brands. You work with the likes of MTN and Bidvest and all these guys. But also, most importantly, you have a foundation that gives back. How would you describe life after your playing days?
Well, I must say it was quite a transition, Tabiso, I won't lie, because I think the careers we have as athletes is almost... I don't think you can compare it to anything in life because you just you're playing and you are living your dream. You know, it's a childhood dream that everyone, especially that play sports, they want to play at the top level for a long time. They want to represent their nation. So when that day comes where you have to hang your boots, it takes a lot. You know, and I think for me, it helped that I was grounded in God. You know, I knew that I'm not defined by the game and I still had so much more in life that I wanted to achieve. And rugby was a great journey and it was a part of my life, but not my life. And I needed to get through it with the help of with the support of my wife and my family. And I had to stay busy because, you know, I need to keep my mind busy. And as you rightfully say, I got the opportunity through my partner, Gary Teichman, who also played rugby for the longest time. Mm. You know, we went into a construction business together, which is really something I'm enjoying and I'm looking forward to what the future holds. And, you know, we're building a strong business on the foundation of what we learned when we played rugby. And, you know, I've got some amazing brands that I work with, as you mentioned, the likes of MTN, which I'm very grateful to be a part of, Hollywood Bets, Bidvest Insurance, which is really amazing to, and for me, it's all about maintaining those good relationships. And the most important, I think, something that Akon and I are passionate about, which is giving back and sharing the experience that we got along the way in our journey. And sharing that with the next guys that are coming through the system, and for us, we are fortunate to have had the parents that gave us the opportunity to realize our dreams. And for us, it's all about taking those kids that are talented that wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity, and just creating an opportunity for them and supporting them throughout their careers. And obviously, what we understood is that sport can change your life, and it changed our lives, but it has to go hand in hand with studies. So we've affiliated with through our Ndungane Twins Foundation with some good schools. So for us, it's all about sport and education go hand in hand, and that's our biggest drive and our biggest goal, to try and help the young kids find their purpose in life and hopefully realize their dreams and play sport for a living.
Wonderful. For those just joining us, we are talking to Odwa Ndungane, Sharks legend, former Springbok wing. We're looking back at his career. We are live on three radio stations till 7:30 on SAFM, on Metro FM, as well as Radio 2000. And you can send us your voice notes on 061-4104-107, 061-4104-107. That's the number we use for voice notes on WhatsApp. So you can send any comments you have for Odwa Ndungane. And Odwa, just on the foundation, I mean, I saw you've been doing some wonderful work the other times. The other time you were donating groceries, and you also provided a scholarship to, I think if I remember correctly, it was Liema Lento from Dantsane. Yeah. What is the scholarship about? What are you hoping to achieve with this?
Well, I think when we decided to start the foundation, we looked at it and we thought that we need to identify the disadvantaged, the kids that come from disadvantaged areas that, number one, are talented in sport. And we identified, as you rightfully say, a youngster called Liema Lento, where we put him through a good school in East London, Hudson Park. So we pay for his school, we pay for his school fees, and we also understand that, you know, when you take a kid and you put him in that environment, it is important that you also support him in just in socially, you know, when he needs small things, you know, that make a big difference, that gives a child confidence to be able to walk around with his shoulders high and his head high. Small things like your boots, your rugby boots, your training tackies, your track suits, your pocket money, so that he doesn't feel like he's out in a foreign environment. So he must know that he has the support and he belongs in that environment. So our role, especially Akon and I, is to just put our arms around him and just motivate him and help him through difficult challenges that he might find in transitioning from the school that he was into a different school. So the foundation is all geared around supporting those kids and making sure that they thrive in that new environment that they are in.
And that's the same school you went to?
That's correct.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well done to you, Odwa Ndungane, as well as your brother, Akon Ndungane, for the foundation. And I hope you get as much support as you can to continue this good work that you are doing. No wonder these rugby boys call you Reverend. Eh? You're a man of God and a man of honor too, man.
No, thank you so much. That's a nickname that came from my younger brother, Sibu. He said I was too serious and I take life too seriously, so he decided to give me that nickname, Rev, and it's stuck, and I see that you thought.
Wonderful. Now we're going to talk about your career, Rev. But before we do that, maybe let's just remind you, in case you forgot.
And Ngane picks it up! And Ngane, what a try! And caught the napping! Oh, it's unbelievable!
But now I'm free. I was born for this, the game shows me.
And Ngani should race away here. Ngani by number 29 for the Flying
Springbok.
Ederson running well. Gets the pass back on the inside to Ndungani. Beautifully works. And Odwa Ndungani scores.
Tala. Wakus Tala. Shang Ndungani. Wambu Gambu. Wambu Gambu. Nyamsam, nyamsam. Usabam Zopa Ndona Babu.
Ala, ala, Gambu. Incha Jemiye. Asa. Karika.
Show your boy dying. I ain't lying. We are self-built.
They have won the Tri Nations and they have won the Freedom Cup. Winners over the All Blacks three times, and in doing so, they retain their status as the number one team in world rugby right now.
Okay, Gambu, halala. Those were some of your playing days then. We thought we should just remind those who've forgotten about Odwa Ndungane. And when you look at your career, Odwa, I mean, a 17-year career in rugby, how do you look back at your career? Are you satisfied with what you achieved?
You're taking me down memory lane there, Tabiso. And, you know, I enjoyed every moment of my career. You know, I am so grateful to God for blessing me with the opportunity and the talent to have played for as long as I did. And, you know, it's one where I look back on and I'm very proud. And I think for me, not just for myself, but I think for my whole family, and also the people that are from the area, the community that I come from in Mthatha. My place is a place called Equlu. And for me, I think it speaks volumes to also the kids that are growing up in that area to say to them, you know, here's a guy that grew up not far from us, but he's gone far because, you know, he was dedicated and he followed his passion and he worked hard to get to the top and to where he was. And, you know, you ask a very good question, you know, do I have regrets? And I don't have any whatsoever, you know, because at the time when I was there, I gave it all I could. And that was my thing that I was making sure that I focus on, you know. Most of the coaches also would speak about it. You know, you're only as good as your last game. So we needed to make sure that every time we go out on the playing field, we give it everything because our game is quite a tough physical game and injuries are part and parcel of it. And you don't know if you can't save yourself for tomorrow or the next week. You know, every single time you run out of there, you give it your all and you make sure, most importantly, you enjoy every minute. So for me, it was 17 years of fulfillment and enjoyment. And when I look back and I'm very happy and I'm proud. And now and again, I've got some old games where I try and show my kids. They're still quite small, but you know what? They see their daddy running around and they smile a lot. So it's quite nice.
Wonderful. I actually remember, they were even smaller when I remember them. I think when you, didn't you take them onto the field when you retired, your last game?
Yes,
you went on the field with them.
Yes, I did. I walked out with my daughter, and at that time she was 6, and my boy, I think, must have been around 2, so he was quite small. My daughter remembers that day, but my boy will only see the pictures and remember that. But it was a special moment, definitely.
And we're going to get into that. But before I get into the voice notes, Odo, obviously when people think of you, they also think of Akona. And when you talk about this dream of playing rugby, did you and your brother have the same dream growing up? Did you want to be professional rugby players? Did you dream of being Springboks? Did you think it could happen?
Well, I think when it all started, well, let me start off by saying we come from quite a sporty family because my dad played rugby for his local club in Mthatha. And we got introduced to sport at quite an early age. And at school, we used to do athletics. And at the junior school that we went to in Mthatha, we played soccer there. And, you know, we love sport and we thought, one day we'll be professional soccer players. And I remember when I think we must have been 11 or 12, we thought we would play for the two big teams in South Africa, being Chiefs and Pirates. And we used to imitate, you know, your Doc Kumalo, your John Moetis and all those guys. But the rugby kicked off only when we got to Isandlwana. When we went to Hudson Park and we picked up the rugby ball for the first time, you know, after like more an organized setup, when we started playing under 14, and we actually enjoyed it and we played, and we then I think when we got to first team, and our parents said, okay, when we're in matric, our parents said we need to start deciding which varsity we're going to. And then we had to sit them down and say, listen, we actually would like to take the sport professionally. And, you know, I must be thankful, I think, to our parents for understanding that, you know, we actually and supporting the dream of us pursuing the sport. And I guess in those days, it was not a norm for black kids to take the sport professionally because parents those days were more about you need to go to university, get a degree, be a doctor or be a teacher or anything along those lines. But our parents were quite supportive in supporting our dream, and so we're quite grateful for that. And I think so the dream of wanting to play professionally kicked off or started when we were about 16 or 17 in the start at 9 and 10. I think it's grade 12 and 11 now.
It is. Yeah. Showing your age there, Odwa. But let's just take a voice note. The lines are open, folks. 061-4104-107. You can send us your voice notes if you have any comments, any questions. If you remember Odwa during his playing days, anything you want to ask him.
Kat, just something on Odwa. I worked more with his brother, Kona. What a special player I think Odwa was. Coaching against him and working a plan out against him. Special player on the field. Just the way that he finished opportunities. Tremendous under the high ball. And I think what made him so special is just his tremendous effect that he had on the team. And he's a special person. So I think looking back on his career, he meant so much for the Sharks. And he was a pillar for them while he played. So I think from my side and obviously from the Bulls side, it was a massive threat always. And I think he was such a difficult player to handle on the field. So a special guy, a special person.
I'm not even going to guess who that is because I also tried to guess and then I couldn't get it right. But I've been told who that is, Odwa Ndungane. It is Coach Pine Pinar. How's that? How's that? Nice, nice guy,
Yes, nice. And it's really nice to hear such wonderful words. I think, you know, Pine Pinar is a great man and really thankful for those kind and wonderful words.
Thanks, Coach Pine. And you eventually made your border debut at 19. I believe it was against VIP at the time, Western Province, against the likes of Brayton Pulser and those guys. How was that experience for you, your first match? Seems like you were thrown in the deep end here.
And, you know, talking about being thrown in the deep end, I remember when I told my father, I gave him a call. So I was still in class. I was doing my studies. I was doing, and then I got a call from the coach at the time, which was Kobus van der Merwe, and he says I need to report to training that Monday at 3 o'clock, I think it was, and he wants to start me against Western Province. And I think from there, you know, I felt such a, I think my heart stopped for a second because here I was a youngster and I was so looking forward to watching all of the Springboks, you know, and they had the likes of Brayton Pulser, Peter Rousseau, Percy Montgomery, Robbie Fleck, Connor Christie. So it was a team full of Springboks and well-established players. And now I'm going to be up against them. So I phoned my father and then I told him. And my father being my father, he said, "Oof, are you sure you want to play against these guys? But you know what? He was obviously concerned as a father. You know, he has this youngster up against this Springbok, up against this well-established team. But for me, it was nerve-wracking. But nonetheless, you know, it's an opportunity, I think, that kicked off my career. And I look back at it now And I think, you know, the lessons I learned from that game, just to be opposite these guys that I normally watch on TV or watch from a distance. Yeah, I'm up against them now. You know, it just gives you that self-belief that you actually can make it and you actually do belong on this platform. So it was quite a special debut to be up against a team like that. And, you know, you know, for a small union, when you're up against a big team like Western Province or the Sharks, when they visit your stadium, everyone looks forward to that game. The coach doesn't have to motivate much. And we really went in, climbed into that game, and we gave it a full go. And we just lost, I think, by 2 or 3 points. So it was quite a nice debut. But, you know, for me, I felt physicality that I'd never felt before because it was just on another level. And I still remember till this day, I got a nasty punch from Corneille Criche. It was, because those days we didn't have as many cameras that we have today. But it just told you that now you're in the big
welcome
league.
Welcome,
so you need to step it up. Welcome. But it was really special. Definitely. Yeah.
And when Border was still Border, of course. But that's a story for another show. We've got more voice notes here that have come through on 061-410-4107 for those who are just joining us. My name is Thabiso Mosia. We are live. It's a Friday night sports special. This evening, we are live on three radio stations, SAFM, as well as Metro FM and Radio 2000. We've got more voice notes.
Yeah, nee. Thanks. Thanks, Thabiso, for bringing order to the show. He's a very humble man. A very good man. I'm also from Mthatha, Ezandukwane, if he knows the place. It's on your way to Utsolo. I just want to ask him a personal question. Ukhomotso, his wife, is she like that in real life, or is she brave as she is in real life, or what's going on? Thanks.
Hi Odwa, hi Thabiso. Just want to say thank you for your service, Odwa. What you did for the game and what you do after, what you do now with your time, amazing. Just shows what an amazing guy you are. And I just wanted to ask, do you think rugby is a unifying game? I mean, you listen to the love being poured out by guys like Brian Pienaar and stuff like that. You know, and it was the game that unified us during Madiba's years. Is it that? Do you see that in rugby?
Let's take those two for now. Keep them on 061-410-4107. I'll start with the first one, Order, because you see, I'm not the only one that watches Real Housewives of Durban. Yeah, and I've given the guy the confidence to come out. This is a safe space, folks. If you also watch Real Housewives of Durban, this is a safe space. You are not alone. Feel free to send your voice notes. But he wants to know if your wife is like that in real life.
You know what, Tabi? So I think that's one thing about Homoso. It's a say or you don't, because she's a straight shooter. She says it as it is. And I think it's something that we can all learn from, you know. And she is a most humble, supporting, great wife and a great mother, you know. And sometimes I think people need to understand that some things are made for showbiz, and it might not be exactly as it is. And so I'm not sure which Homoso he's seen or he understands to be, but... the one that is maybe portrayed on social media is total opposite of the wife that I know.
Okay. And then there was we can talk the whole show about that show, man. But there was a question about whether you think rugby is a unifying game.
Well, Tabiso, I think I do believe it is unifying. You know, we in a diverse country with a lot of, with different people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, and come from different environments. And I think when we watch our teams that we love so much, and we see the players really united and working as a unit for a common goal, for a common purpose. And I think, you know, from the player's point of view, when we are putting on that jersey, we don't really see color, but we are all united in a blue jersey or in a black and white jersey or in a green and gold jersey. And I think at the end, we're all fighting for the goals that we set for ourselves. And I think it's something nice to see as a spectator, because I think all of us as fans, there are people that we can relate with or relate to on the field when the guys are playing. And and we've seen it numerous times. And, you know, the greatest statesman that ever lived, Thabo Mandela, told us that, you know what, it is, there's nothing more unifying than sport, because it's something that makes us forget about everything and just be all one. And at the end, I think, you know, sport is a wonderful vehicle that people use to unite us. And I think definitely to answer that question, I'd be unifying vehicle.
Okay, wonderful. Let's go back to the career. You then moved to the Bulls with your brother at the time, but you didn't stay long at the Bulls, because I believe Kevin Putt recruited you to the Sharks. But how did the move come about to the Bulls?
Well, when I was at board, I think it was 2002, I got a call from Haneka Meyer, who was the coach at the time. and they said they would like me to come to the Bulls. And, you know, I was 21, 22, and you know, it was an opportunity to make that step up. You know, playing for a small union, you always wish, and your ambitions are obviously to play Super Rugby, which was Super 10 and Super 12 in those days. So I jumped at that opportunity, and I went and I joined the Bulls in 2003. And in my time there, I played with some amazing players who went on to become household names in Pretoria, and I had a great time. But coming from the Eastern Cape, I was always a Sharks fan. And when the call came, I didn't think twice. You know, it was always a dream of mine to play for the Sharks. And then when Kevin Putt got in touch with me, I said, I'm on the next flight out to Durban to join the Sharks. And I joined them in 2005, and I never looked back ever since. And I really enjoyed my time down there.
And like they say, the rest is history. I'll say that for you, because 250 games across all competitions for the Sharks. I mean, that is legendary stuff. But before we go back to your highlights at the Sharks, I want to bring on a man here who I remember when you retired wrote an article saying rugby will be much poorer for losing Odwa Ndungane. And one of the lines said, but every now and then comes a player who bucks the trend and reminds us of the human side of the game and why the true legends of rugby are not always the ones with all the trophies, the mega sponsorships and a stadium full of young ladies screaming to catch a glimpse of a bit of that six-pack. And that is Vata Ngobeni. Vata, good evening from us. Thank you for joining us on SAFM tonight.
Evening, Thabiso. Evening to your listeners, and evening to Kahambu Umsu to Memela.
Hey, you wrote it.
Evening.
Go ahead, Gambu.
Evening, Steve Wopo. Yeah, you, my brother.
Hey, Vata Ngobeni, minjani, put.
No, ndifukile tano minjani, man.
Ah, mfukile, put. Hey, this article, for some reason, it stayed with me, and I'm glad I was able to find it today, because I felt that you paid a fitting tribute to Odwa Ndungane when he retired. What was going through your mind, and why did you feel it was important?
Tabiso, I come from, well, I was born in Mthatha, and Odwa and I and Akona, their brothers Maitu and Kumba, our families have been, you know, very close. We attended Sunday school together. All of us were at the same church, at St. Andrew's Mission in Mthatha in Ngangelizwe. And from there, you know, we were at, you know, opposing schools. And there was nothing as good as the banter between friends when you beat Hudson Park as Queen's College. but more than anything, you know, you know, from being friends, it's difficult when, you know, he becomes a professional rugby player and I'm a journalist on one end. And there's certain things that I would have to write about him and his teams and so on. But more than anything, I think what really made me write that was, you know, people like Odwa and Akona, you know, remind us why we follow this game. They remind us why we love the game. And beyond, again, the trophies and, you know, the big money contracts and so on. You know, what they went and they did. And I don't remember at any point any of them complaining. Mm. I had the pleasure of being in Pretoria, look at the Pretoria News and writing rugby when Odwa came to Pretoria. And he was a true professional, you know, from start to finish. One would hope that as a friend, you would sneak in some secrets there. And he never did that because, again, he was a true professional, you know. And he allowed me as well when he had a bad game, and I'll put it down and I'll say that he didn't have a good game. It was, you know, it was again understanding the nature of my job as well. Yeah. But then at the same time, you know, to watch him go on to become a Springbok, you know, him and his brother, you know, and both of them, when you look at their trophy cabinet, the most successful set of brothers in the history of South African rugby. Now, when you know where South African rugby comes from, you know, and you find these two young black men from Ekulu to do what they've done.
With that dreadlocks.
And to do it so consistently, well, for me, you know, is a story worth telling. And it's a reminder, I think, to kids around the country, you know, whether you're black or white, it doesn't matter where you come from. You know, don't look at yourself and say, yo, ndinguva thango beni, I'm, you know, Mthatha and I can't make it. Or I'm somewhere in Nkowankowa or wherever it is, you can make it. And those guys are the embodiment of what hard work, commitment, and dedication to a cause are.
And am I right to say, Vat, that his legacy will be, is what we're seeing at the Sharks with the likes of Sibu Nkosi, the Lukanyo Arms, and even Elwazi Mvova? I mean, those guys were there when Odo was there, and they also speak highly of him.
No, they're trailblazers, without a doubt. I mean, I watched in the game that the Sharks had dedicated to him, and we went on to his place for a braai, and you looked at the Lukanyo Arms and Sibu Nkosi, the Chilibwera Lipelas. You know, they hang on to every single word he says, and it's almost like they would watch him at training, and probably everything that he did, they wanted to emulate. Such is the legacy, Kaka Odwa. It's you know, again, it's a reminder to so many black rugby players in this country that if you really want something, you must go for it, and don't allow the hurdles that get thrown in your way, you know, to stop you or to defer you from attaining your dream. So I think they've laid the foundation for the likes of all Lukanyo, Sibu, many other black players, you know, to take their rightful place, not just in the Sharks team, but also in the Springboks team as well. You know, the world now knows these players that we speak of that are currently in the Sharks, likes of or PFC, Buthelezi are now, you know, captain. The Sharks are sitting, they're sitting with, you know, again, so many talented, you know, black players, and that talent is allowed, you know, to come to the fore. And that would not have happened, I believe, had it not been for Abanda Bafana no Otto.
Wonderful, Vata. And he said something very interesting about you, Odwa. For me, what's interesting, actually, when Vata says in that article that he talks about those with multi-million rand salaries, but what's interesting is that you didn't go overseas, and I'm sure there would have been offers. I once read that you and your brother were being offered to go play overseas at the same time. And, I mean, players are going to Japan. Some, even fresh out of high school, go to France. Were you tempted to go overseas? Why did you stay at the Sharks for that long?
Well, I think, Thabiso, if we look back at that time when we were at the peak of our careers, going overseas wasn't a norm as it is today. As you mentioned, you know, you've got guys that are straight out of school just move on to France, and I think it a lot of it has to do with how we felt loyal to our provinces because they had given us so much and given us such a wonderful platform. And at the time, the team was really successful. The team was really doing well, and we were also in a good space. And I think, you know, to some extent, we, you know, us coming from Mthatha, Equlu, we're a bit scared of taking the plunge of going far away from home. And, you know, we love our home and we are close to our family. So it was a lot of things that we needed to consider. And I think, you know, for us, it was a bit easier to make that decision to stay at the Unions because of we were in such a happy place and we felt, you know, we didn't need to go overseas. And we were just focused on building a career and playing for. And I think, you know, when we at that time, the Bulls and the Sharks were two of the most successful teams, you know, that would play in finals, Super Rugby finals and Currie Cup finals. So we were just enjoying the journey and living every moment and enjoying it. And I guess that was one of the main reasons why we never really considered the options of going overseas.
Okay, the producer says I must go to the voice notes, but you've just mentioned Currie Cup final. And I just want to find out, overall, what are your highlights at the Sharks? You've played a few final, and for me, there's one that stands out. 2013 Currie Cup final. I don't know where it ranks in your books.
It definitely is, Fabi. So, you know, it's one of the best. And I think for me, I'm not sure your point of view, but for me, I think as a player, the way how we went on to win that Currie Cup final, you know, we had just parted ways with our long-time coach, John Plumtree, and things were, there was a lot of uncertainty when Brendan Fenter came and took over. But, you know, I must really, really compliment his leadership and his knowledge of the game, in how he, in a few months, he managed to pull that team together. It took that team from, you know, when a new coach comes in, it normally takes time for everyone to get into sync with his philosophy in how he does things. And you know, Tabisa, we were really doing well in that competition, and we played, I think, the penultimate game before the playoffs, Western Province, and whoever won that game would get the chance to host the final. And we were, I think, a few points ahead of Western Province, and they beat us at King's Park, you know. So the changing room was obviously disappointed, because it's the ultimate to play in a Currie Cup final, and especially to play it at home. But I remember, like it was yesterday, his words when we got into that huddle. Brendan Fenter told us that we are going to go to Cape Town and win the trophy. And, you know, our whole focus, obviously, we had to get through the semi-final, but our whole focus was just to go there. And we went there with the plan, and I think everyone executed that plan to perfection. And it was definitely quite a special one to win in Cape Town.
Yeah, and it was VP's first loss in a home final in 74 years. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I know that team, though, was unbeaten that year. So that was quite special beating them, you know. And, you know, it's always nice, you know, when you're up against Western Province. There's one thing that, you know, that you get from their media down there. You know, they always talk up the team.
Yes.
And we used to take those snippets and put them in the changing room. Exactly. So it was nice to just keep them quiet for a while.
Yeah, and what a team it was. I mean, Joe Upland was there, Jean de Villiers, Damien Dialende, Cheslin was there, right? Cheslin Colby, yes, and Dwayne.
I was up against Cheslin, and what a handful that man is.
Okay, let's take more voice notes here.
Good evening, Kumetro Nagoredo 2000 and SAFM listeners, and to Upra Odwa, now I'm going to have a studio. I'm very happy to hear from the man after such a long time. I think what he's doing in his community, I think we have to applaud him for that. I wish him all the best in future. Thanks very much.
Good evening, Tabiso and Katleho, your team there. This is Kabelo from Pretoria, and good evening to Odwa. Tabiso, I have a question for your guest there, Odwa. I don't call him a legend because he's still an inspiration to many. So can he please tell us who was the best player between him and his brother, and how was it to play against his brother playing for Bulls and losing to Bulls all the time? I'm asking this as a Bulls supporter, you know, for sure, Tabiso. And thanks for the great show, and Odwa, thanks for coming to SDU, man.
Fabulous interview with Odwa. Thank you, Odwa, for all the exciting games that you provided for us, this fabulous entertainment when you were with the Sharks on the wing. This is Belinda from Durban. It was just so fantastic watching you, and all the very best. It's wonderful hearing a little bit about your life and getting to know you a little bit better. All the very best. Bye.
Okay, thanks for those, folks. We have 4 minutes left, so I just want to get one question in, and I'll go back to the one between him and his brother. Odwa, just how do you look back at your Springbok career? Some people feel you could have played more, but obviously you were up against a certain Brian Habana at the time. How do you look back at it?
I think, you know, it's everyone that gets that opportunity to play for the Springboks. It's one that you've worked your life to get to, and you've visualized and you've dreamt about it. So when the opportunity came, I was so grateful, and I really enjoyed my time at the Springbok, and really we won some wonderful games. And you know, there's something in every athlete's life. You know, it's either you can be up, it can be your time, or it can't be. But you know, you still enjoy every opportunity. And you mentioned that the guys that I was up against, it's guys like Brian Habana, who went on to make 100, to play 100 caps for the Springbok, you know, who was an outstanding player, who never worked the hardest. You know, he was always fit and healthy, and, you know, he's achieved so much in his career, and he still does so much for his community. And on the other side was a youngster when I was there, JP Peterson, who also went on to play over 50 tests for Springboks. So I look back at my career, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. And I've really got some special moments, you know, where we went to the World Cup in 2011, and we won the Tri Nations in 2009, beating the All Blacks in Hamilton. And also I got the opportunity to play against the Lions in 2009. Yeah. So I've got no regrets at all. Would I wish I'd played more tests? Definitely. But you know what? It never worked out. But I'm still grateful to have still managed to put that jersey over my shoulders. You know, something I can tell my kids.
Yeah.
And something that they can be proud of, that their dad played for South Africa and stood there and sang the national anthem.
And he's got the blazer.
He's got the blazer, you know, and we watch the Springboks. We all stand there and we sing the national anthem. So awesome. I'm really grateful for that opportunity I got to play for South Africa.
I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I'll put somebody else on the spot to find out who was the better player here. Mai Dundungane, good evening. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening, Tabitha. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Did you also play rugby like your brothers?
I tried, but I was not good enough. So I tried.
Okay, sorry for you, my dear man. That's why we've only got a minute or two for you. But somebody asked, who's the better player between the two, my dear? And we thought we should bring you on and put this matter to rest.
Between the two, me and Audra, or what?
Of course not you. Audra and Akona. Come on now.
Okay. Well, no. To be honest, so I think... You can't really say who's the better one. I think they both were very good, and they both were, I would say, two different players in terms of the way they played. But so I think they were both good. They were both very good rugby players. So there's no really that one. I think it's more of who had the better season that year, you know, instead of who was a better player than who, you understand?
No, you're definitely your brother's keeper. I hear my Ndungane. But how proud are you of the brothers?
Look, as a family, we're very proud, Tabiso. I think from where they came from, you know, from Currie Cup, I think Odo played Currie Cup. I think Akona played for B-side. From the Craven Rick to... Up until the stages where they got to the top level, I think we're very proud of the family. They did very well. And, for what they've achieved. I mean, Akona won the World Cup. Odo also played in the 2011 World Cup, if I'm right, and also played against the Lions. So, we're very proud as a family. I mean, we can't be asking for more. They did us very well. I mean... Yeah.
Wonderful. And we're going to have to leave it there just because of time. But Odwa, thank you very much for giving us some of your time tonight on this 3 radio station. It's been an honor for us who've watched you to speak to you tonight. Thank you for the memories. We just wanted to bring you on, highlight what you've done, and most importantly, sir, give you the respect that you deserve.
Tabiso, thank you so much for inviting me. And I would just like to thank everyone for the well wishes. And to Pimpina Vata, you know, really wonderful words. And may the Springboks do it for us tomorrow so that we can enjoy the weekend. But Tabiso, thank you so much for inviting me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Otto Ndungane Mrev, they're the elder. We're going to have to leave it here for SAFM, but Mkhululo Msebenzi, the show continues on Radio 2000 and Metro FM right after the news.